So Todd Rundgren, who I've got a chance to see down at a work play, he was fantastic down there. We did a meet and greet with him. He was super cool. There was one guy that had evidently been to like thousands of Todd Rundgren concerts, and he had a guitar, and Todd knew who he was, but the guy just overextended his stay. Okay. It's kind of like, okay, I signed your guitar. He had Todd sign the guitar every time he was at a show. And so there was like 1,000 Todd Rundgren.
Okay, yeah. That's
and it was kind of like, thanks for coming to the show. Now go away, yeah. Blah, blah, blah. And he got up there basically and played I Saw the Light and said, for all you, said something quite derogatory, for all you wusses out there that think you're going to hear Hello, It's Me and all these slow songs all night, I got another thing coming. This is the only one you're going to hear that you recognize. And he played I Saw the Light, and then he ripped into Lunatic Fringe, Red Rider. It was a great show. I mean, he got after it. And then I saw him with Ringo Starr in the Ringo Starr band. He did Love Is the Answer, which is a song he actually wrote.
You wrote that?
Yeah. He actually, he did the original version. It's, man, you should listen to it. It's like... Because really? Todd's not a great singer.
Right.
But his version of it is like...
He did Love Is the Answer. Who redid Love Is the Answer?
England Dan, John Forquhart.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
If you hear...
That's a bizarre, like, I can't even imagine.
You should listen to it because you'll hear it. It's not melodic. It's like all over the road, but it's really good. It's totally different. And, I mean, he goes off on it. It's fantastic. So it's great. So it's so different, you have to love it.
Rocker singing cheesy 70s love songs.
Yeah. He's a cool dude. Anyway, he was inducted into the Rocker Hall of Fame, and he'll be inducted along with Jay-Z, Foo Fighters, Tina Turner, Carole King, and the Go-Go's. He's going to be in Cincinnati, Ohio, a few miles away, down a little bit, doing a show at Riverbend Music Center. And so he said, but even if I wasn't doing a show, I'm not going. He said it's been up and down, in and out with them. Talk about the Rock and Roll of Fame. My relationship with the Rock and Roll of Fame, quite obviously, has not been copacetic. I have offered to do something live for them for my venue. I will stop my show and acknowledge the award and mostly acknowledge my fans because it's for them. They're the ones who wanted it, and they got it. Another one of those Rock and Roll Hall of Fame fans for Todd Rundgren or whatever.
Right.
So it's a celebration for them, not so much for me. I could care less. I've been totally willing to do that, but for me to do something extraordinary for the Hall of Fame would just be hypocritical at this point. You know, I'm not too much a record about my feelings. He's called the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame a scam and told Billboard it's no secret I don't care about them. I've striven since the nomination to just say nothing because I don't want to rain on anyone else's parade. A lot of artists take this very, very seriously. Just because I don't doesn't mean I should try and spoil it for them. So, you know, I haven't really had much to say about it. I would just like to elapse without any kind of bad vibes or anything being a result of it. I just like it to happen to be over with.
That's sour grapes, and he really wishes he was in it.
You think so?
Yeah, well, because you said I've had not had. Why is he not having had an amicable relationship with them? Like,
well, a lot of people haven't had an amicable relationship with the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame just because of the way they choose their artists.
Right.
They do have a fan vote. Again, I can bring up Bad Company. I mean, come
on. Is he upset about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame and the way they choose in general, or the way they choose and haven't chosen him?
Probably a little bit of both.
Yeah. Well, you get that upset.
Yeah, when you're a first-year inductee, you love the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame because you're already in.
Right.
If you're one of those people on the outside looking in, and you're waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting, then you probably get...
Well, would you say Tina Turner or Ike Turner?
Tina Turner.
Yeah, Tina Turner. You got Tina Turner. You got Tina Turner, Carole King, and Jay-Z. Mm-hmm. And they could all respect each other's music.
Yep.
But just from a generational age thing, Tina's probably going...
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
I mean, internally, like, okay, that's great you brought Jay, but I you know, I've been around since Jay-Z was in, like, diapers.
Mm-hmm.
But that Todd Rundgren, that's very telling. That's always telling. When people are like, I don't care, when they scream, I don't care, they care.
You know,
I don't care.
Does that go for anything?
Yeah, a lot of things. Yeah.
I don't listen to this. I don't read social media. I don't listen to news.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah, you do.
Or it's done you wrong somehow.
Yeah.
Because otherwise you wouldn't have any emotion.
Yeah.
Right? You'd be just neutral about it. No, I don't read social media. Yeah, I'm telling you, if you
don't read social media, why are you bringing up you don't read social media?
Well, someone asked you.
Because it doesn't exist.
No, so to Tony. Yeah. Tony, do you read social media? Do you look at social media? No, I don't. Mm-hmm. Oh, come on, Tony. Come on, Tony. I do not. I don't have time for that. We'll go on Nick Saban. I don't know that Nick Saban looks at it. I'm sure he has somebody look at it. It's like a presidential briefing.
Yeah.
Good morning, coach.
No, and I think when you're still playing, you're still doing your craft too, it probably doesn't mean as much.
Yeah.
Like if you ask Nick Saban, do you care about being in the College Football Hall of Fame?
Right now, point? No.
Or do you care about having a statue? He's like, nah, I don't care.
Not now.
I got business.
But what if he did?
I mean, he doesn't even care about, he didn't, I mean, he said he didn't care about surpassing Bear Bryant's record of six championships. He respects him for it.
Absolutely.
But he's like, yeah, I'm just here to play, win championships.
Which is okay.
And at the end of the day, maybe he can sit back and then take it all in and go, wow.
No, his style, you never, I mean, again, I think only, much like any other celebrity, only the people who know him know.
Yeah.
And it's so much easier and fun for us to create the personality of the person we don't know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's what we do.
Yeah.
We make a story. Oh, well, I saw. And we, it's not quite conspiracy theory, but we do this. Did you see what they posted here? Did you see what they said about here? And what we do is we craft this sort of this perceived persona. This is who this person is. You have absolutely no idea. You have little snippets.
I always wonder about, because Billy Joel was always like this, but I always wonder about that angry rocker.
Right.
Like that one, it's always got, you know, David Crosby's something like that. Todd Runger's like that. Billy Joel's like that.
Grumpy.
Just grumpy, just mean ass, just not in a good mood ever type of.
Right.
Well, and Jimmy Buffett's kind of like that a little bit.
Yeah, see, Jimmy, that's sad because you look at the kind of music that they play.
I know, and it's like, and I guess as a fan, we kind of like it. We can envelop it. We're like, that's kind of cool because he's such a badass. Tony Stewart is always in a bad mood. It's kind of like, dude, what's wrong? I mean, you've won championships. Like when someone's got to the apex of whatever their skill is and they're successful and they have a fan base and people like them and they're just grumpy, it's kind of like, is it just your demeanor? What's wrong with you? What do you have to be grumpy about?
Again,
we just kind of, oh, that's just him being him. He's just always grumpy. He won't sign my son's autograph.
Well, but that's the thing. Where and when are they grumpy? Are they grumpy during autograph signings? Again, I'm just using Coach Saban as an example. He gets up for his pressers, right? And he sort of has this reputation besides talking to his players. It's a pretty intimidating. He's not friendly. Call him grumpy?
I don't really put Nick Saban in the grumpy group.
Well, no, but you could. But you, what you say
it depends on when you catch him. He's all about football and mentoring and forming these wonderful men.
So what about a musician? I'm all about playing. I don't want to sign your autograph.
Yeah,
I don't care if you. I don't care if you. You're the reason I'm here.
Yeah, I don't know. So there's you got to do some rock and roll psychology.
I do. I want to do a show.
Because Todd Rundgren would be.
Yeah.
Like. It would take you, I mean, it would go on for years.
Well, some of them got some pretty complicated paths. The other thing is, a lot of them, as we find out, they're intensely shy. And I don't know that I would say, you know, we always say they're insecure.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe, but I think they're intensely shy. And when they're performing, that's their stage, and there's protection there, right? There's psychological protection.
Sure.
This is why the Barbara Streisands and the Adeles and whoever, they all vomit before.
Yeah.
Because it is, you're in a complete evaluative situation, but at the same time, you are in your comfort zone. We've heard this about actors, right? The actors who don't want to be seen in public, or they don't want to talk, or they want... The other thing, too, I think, with celebrity, and rockers, or anybody, is, we've talked about this. By the way, you see Britney Spears is engaged?
I did.
Yeah. So, I mean, think about, just because of concern.
Yeah, she was seen in a Mercedes.
She flipped off and she got the ring.
Yeah,
and
whatever.
But think
we're
about.
We're going to wish she is still in conservatorship, I guess.
I also think this is when we need to make a hotline call to Damon Johnson. Although Damon Johnson probably takes it a little bit differently. I still think that if your entire life you're hounded, I don't care how much you're up on a pedestal. If you're hounded and hounded and hounded, even people love you. We love you. Let me touch you. I think after a while, for a lot of people, even within the celebrity rocker genre, there are a lot of people that just doesn't sit well with.
Yeah.
It's like, again, Todd Rundgren, leave me the F alone. I just want to play my music. You know, it's almost as if I didn't, you know, I wanted to play my music and I wanted to make a living playing my music, but I almost didn't anticipate this other thing would happen? Would I have to play my love songs over and over again?
He's 73 years old. The fact that he's still relevant is pretty amazing.
Yeah.
Because there's thousands of guys just like Todd, not to his expertise and his skill level, but there's thousands of rock and rollers from the 70s that you just don't even hear about anymore. They're off the road. They don't want to play anymore. They don't do anything. They're dead, whatever. I always wonder, like, how fame and fortune changes us.
Should ask Damon.
We should, because Damon's one of those, the most accessible guys, but Damon's still scratching and clawing and fighting. It's like he never feels like he's at the top of the mountain. I don't think he'll ever be at the top of the mountain. I think he could be the lead singer of Metallica, and right. I don't think he would be consider himself that, because he's always striving to be better and play, and he's just incredible that way. But at some point, you get to the point where you're so big and you have so many people trying to find you and get you and everything that you're like, you know what? I don't have to do this anymore. I don't have to do the meet and greets anymore. I don't have to build my fan base. I'm selling records. And then you got people like James Taylor who will do a show and stop in the middle of the show and sign every autograph in the house. And I think that is just incredible. He doesn't have to do that.
Which is ironic given his past with depression, yeah. introspection.
Addiction.
Addiction. But that's the thing. You just said it. It is the catch-22. When you become celebrity, everybody does want a piece of you, right? And I don't mean in a negative way. They want to be. They love you. They love what you're doing, and that got you there in the first place. And then when you say, I don't need to do this anymore. I don't need to do the meet and greets. Now you've immediately crushed the dream of many of the people who thought you did this. You tell me. You've done this with Jimmy Buffett. I was a huge Jimmy Buffett fan, right? Yep. Jimmy Buffett fan. Not that I thought he was the greatest guy in the world, but when you look at his music, you look at the way he plays, makes me so happy, and you're like, he's kind of a jerk. I'm like, really? Yep. Like, I don't expect him to be the best, but is he really a jerk?
Four times.
You're right.
And but I don't like him any less. I don't see, that's the weird thing, is I don't like him any less.
He was having a bad day.
Four different times?
How bad was it? Pretty bad?
Yeah, I mean, he was just...
aloof?
Yeah, I mean, I think we've all met people, celebrities. I mean, I talked about Marty Brenneman, who used to call Cincinnati Reds games for 50 years, and I listened to him every day growing up. I mean, he was part of my vernacular, man. I loved everything. This one belongs to Reds. I loved everything he did, and I saw him outside the BJCC several years ago. He was calling a regional basketball game for the NCAAs, and I rolled the window down and said, Marty, I couldn't believe it was him. He had this big, Marty, my name is Tony. I'm a huge fan. I love you on the Reds. And just sneered at me. Yeah. He walked down. I was like,
you could have been new.
Oh, it broke my heart. I'm 40 something years old. I was like, dude, you know, when you do that to a kid, and Tony Stewart did it to my son. And we had, you know, the big head on the wall. I must have spent $1,000 on Tony Stewart stuff. And Santa was like, screw him. I'm not following him anymore.
Well, that's what I'm telling you.
But when you get to that point where you just, and then it comes down, because I think humanly, we all want to be liked at some level, right?
Yeah. Well, listen, and this is where we flip. We make the assumption, a lot of times we feel that we're not liked. We try, and then it's a screw you. It's me against the world. The world doesn't like me. So for a long time, we're trying. I want you to like me. And particularly if you throw fame in there, power, I don't need you. Because look, I don't need you to like me because I am liked because of, you know, my success, my wins, my losses. It happens all the time. It's you know, and people just have dispositions. I was listening to something this morning about Kawhi Leonard. What? No one understands Kawhi Leonard, right? Yep. Who is he? He's a weird cat. He's strange. We don't know. They said the same thing about Tim Duncan and others. We don't know. Maybe they're shy. Maybe they're a bit. Look, when we did our Curry and Claypo thing, and you did the whole, you were working the room and you're running the stage and you're, I was so out of my element. I was so uncomfortable for that entire thing.
Really?
Up on the stage, and people are dancing, and you got me playing the air guitar. I was like, get me out of here the entire time. Get me out. That's not my comfort zone.
Yeah.
That's not my comfort zone. And I, again, I feel like we need to give grace to these people. I don't care. We say all the time, well, we're paying their ticket. We're paying their way. They could be having a bad day. Although, the ones who are not like that makes them shine even greater. The ones who will meet and greet with all their guests.
Mm-hmm.
The ones who never, they don't always have to be happy. Because I don't think we should expect all artists and all celebrities to be happy all the time. That's freaking weird.
Yeah. No, I'm totally with you.
Polite. Polite, or even, hey, look, I appreciate it. I know you came to the concert, y'all, but I'm feeling a little under the weather. I'm a little, you know, and people will hammer on you,
yeah,
but do it graciously.
Yeah, it's really a no-win situation.
Well, yes.
And there's always somebody there that's taking up more time than they actually need, and the rock and roll will go. I've seen it a million times. I'm like, dude, leave him alone.
Right, well, you're
ruining for the rest of us. Because they're in La La Land. They're just like,
well, that's the other thing.
And it's like, dude, it's just a rock and roller, man. He puts his pants on just like you do. But you don't know. And I'm like, okay.
Right.
And they're either really, really quiet, and they're just very, very happy. And that's where, you know, that's where fans go wrong, too. We have to, I understand that rock and rollers have bad days. You think, well, if they agree to do a meet and greet, they got to put on their happy face and da 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 da. Well, they should, and, yes, they usually can for 15 or 20 minutes, but sometimes they don't. And quite frankly, fans freak them out. They have no clue. They've had fans knocking on their bedroom windows at night in their hotels. They got them chasing after the bus.
Thank you.
They probably brought a little of that on themselves. But let's be honest, man. I mean, we talked about, you know, who's that one person where you'd walk in and your jaw would drop and you would just be like totally paralyzed because you could not believe you're in the same room with this particular person. If Jennifer Aniston walked in this room right now, what would you do?
You keep saying that. Is she going to?
You never know.
I also think that
fans are weird.
They are.
There's that really weird Mr. Young, I'm so nice to meet you. I've been a big fan of yours. Thank you for autographing this. Have a great show.
That's it.
That's rare.
Well, that's
it's usually like, and they're stuffing stuff in your face. Don't forget about me because you don't know when they're going to leave. And it's like,
you watch it after, I mean, every sporting event.
Yeah.
But I don't know why, particularly tennis, I watch when they lose.
Yeah.
And they're walking out and they've lost. And they're everyone's sticking, like, if that was me. I mean, again, it's not, I'd be like, I just lost. Like, leave me the F alone.
Yeah.
But that is, we've heard this in sports all the time. That is the part about professional sports, or even now with the NIL, that is the part of sports celebrity that you don't get to not have.
Yeah.
It's, you know, we see this all the time. And I love my job, but I hate these six parts of it. Well, understood, acknowledged, but we're paying you to do your job, all six parts of it.
Where I've found, and this has been a big blessing for me in my career, is when I've gotten them one-on-one,
mm-hmm,
a famous celebrity,
mm-hmm,
whether it be John Entwistle or Willie Nelson or Ozzy Osbourne, Jackson Brown. I spoke to Jackson Brown for an hour. Arlo Guthrie. I mean, I could go on and on and on. Where you finally get with, okay, this is the radio guy. He's going to do an interview with you. It's not even a journalistic kind of thing, because I always kind of went in and said, hey, listen, I could turn this off. Whatever. I just want to chat. We can have some stories. Jackson Brown, I flipped my tape over three different times. It was a 45-minute tape. And finally, like, Jackson, we got to go. It was right after the Daryl Hannah breakup where she...
You had a lot to say. Assumed,
and he could have very easily said, I'm not doing anything here because I don't need these questions. You know, Greg Allman, who I interviewed six or seven different times, you'd always know Cher questions. Can't ask him any questions about Cher. And a lot of that was prefaced that way. And it's like, I know he's been asked a million times. We'll go a different route. But that's where you really get to know. I told my David Crosby story, you know, where he came in and was grumpy and throwing food and everything. And I brought him a plate. We sat there and had a nice conversation. That's where you really get to know the person. And I've been blessed enough that I've gotten an opportunity to do that. Whereas most fans just see that, get away from me. I just got off stage in front of 25,000 people. The last thing I need is another autograph signing. You know
well,
I mean?
And even as an interview, I mean, there's a difference. Again, I think about people come see me, and most of the time they're seeing me because they want to. Something's not right, right?
Yep.
They come. Now, I've had times where, you know, whether it's couples therapy, whatever, they're there, or a teenager, they don't want to say anything.
Yeah.
They don't want to be there. And or they're not sure. They don't know how to read me. And there is this super uncomfortable, guarded, you know, because again, I represent, for a lot of people, you know, he's going to get in my mind. He's going to get everything. And it does take, we call it building rapport.
Yeah.
This is why you need three sessions of psychotherapy, because at some point you do have to build some trust. You know, it's hard to build trust with anybody immediately. And in fact, we would tell anybody, do not trust 100% somebody that when you just meet them, you should be on your guard. It's a protective thing. It's how, you know, so I don't know. You're very good at give people some grace, recognize that they're going to have a bad day. And don't judge them just on that. I'm going to go back to it. You're going to hate me for Taylor Swift. This is why she is an icon, and it's why she's an industry.
She's got a lot of people around her that protect her.
No. But I'm not. What I'm saying.
She is masterful at making sure she's not seen in a bad light because of the people she's around.
But she's also not seen.
Because for Taylor Swift, there's a girl named Britney Spears who's like off the chain, off the hook. I'm just waiting, by the way. Something bad's going to happen with her.
Taylor
I'm not
Swift
saying,
or Britney?
Britney. I'm not saying she's going to die, but there's going to be another head shake. Something ain't right with her. I'm starting to back up a little bit on this. She was abused and all this garbage. I'm not saying her dad did everything right, but something ain't right up there, man. Something's wrong with her. Something
well, we
is
know
just
something
really
wasn't
weird.
Right. Listen, we know something wasn't right. That's how the conservatorship went in the first place. The whole conservatorship, there's something not right there.
Yeah, the fact that she was under a conservatorship in the first place, okay, there's something wrong.
There's something wrong.
But I'm
if do you realize she got engaged? But again, if you read the conservatorship, what her claim is, under the conservatorship, I couldn't see anybody that I wanted to see. Couldn't engage with anybody that I wanted to engage in.
I couldn't
be in that car.
She was staying at $600,000 hotels with.
Well, but God, that was approved.
With God. Well, yeah, but I mean, yeah. Well, you know, maybe she wasn't supposed to be seen with this particular person because her dad knew something about that person she didn't. Listen, she's what, 30-something years old? Mm-hmm. You eventually have to let the little bird fly.
We're about to find out. Well, she let the bird fly yesterday. Did you see that?
She let the bird fly big time. I'm like, here we go.
I understand that, but there are parts of what she does, given the conservatorship, and I don't know if I'm part of the Free Britney movement, but I kind of like it. I kind of like...
She is a train wreck waiting to happen.
Maybe.
Yeah. We'll see. Yeah, I give it 3 months.
Of what?
3 months. What's today? September 14th?
Yeah.
3 months from now, she'll end up doing something that's people are going to go.
Well, but
whether she's walking naked down the street, whether she's doing, she'll be doing something. I mean, she's already posting stuff where she's naked. Something even un-Britney like. The fact that she's jumping right into marriage, right after a conservatorship.
Well, she's not married. She's engaged.
Yeah, she'll be married soon. And I bet you we don't even know about it. She'll get married in Las Vegas after one of her shows. She'll go to the little Whitechapel.
So?
Just like Rachel and Ross did.
So?